All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Mem Hei 45. We've got a lot to do today. We are picking up from Mem Dalid Amud Beis, the last line of the Mishnah. Remember again, we're still not the last line of the Mishnah. The last line of the Mishnah on Mem Dalid Amud Beis, the Mishnah continues. We'll see pretty much to the bottom of Mem Hei Amud Dalid. So we'll say, so let's go weiter. So remember again, in this Mishnah, we're talking about the situations of Dirabanan Shavuos. All Shavuos Dirabanan. So, we'll say, what's the case of where we flipped the Shavua onto the other party? So remember, one of the cases of the Mishnah is that if Halacha Lamaisa, again, the party who's supposed to take the Shavua goes ahead and is Chashad Ala Shavua, he is suspect for taking false oaths. So what do? We flip the Shavua onto the other party. So says the Gemara, Sheknegdo Chashad Ala Shavua Kitzad. We'll say, what's the case of where the other party is Chashad Ala Shavua, top of Mem Hei Amud Aleph, Achas Shavua Sa'idos V'Achas Shavua Sa'pikadon V'Afilu Shavua Shav. So we'll say, whether, again, we're talking about a Shavua Sa'idos, a Shavua Sa'pikadon, a false oath, so we'll say, in any of these cases, if the person who was supposed to take the Shavua has taken any of these Shavuos in vain, in other words, has a history of taking false oaths, whether it's oaths bein Adam l'chavera or bein Adam l'makom, we flip the Shavua and impose the Shavua on the other party. Not only that, if one of the parties was a gambler, or lends money with interest, or mafriche yoner, we'll say it's a dove racer. So dove racers, literally, they would race animals. They would race animals, I guess, whatever the modern day equivalent of that is. Or he does business. He sells shmita produce. Shekenegdo nishbavenoto. We'll say in those cases, these individuals again are chashad ala shavua. They are suspect of swearing falsely, and therefore you flip the shavua onto the other party. Next, hayushnei chashudin. We'll say, what happens if both parties involved over here are chashad ala shavua? Right, both guys, the Tohen and the Nitan are both chashad that they swear falsely. Therefore, chazer shalom kol de Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, we just simply put the Shavua back where it belongs. In other words, that in that case where they're both equal, essentially, we just have the original person who was supposed to take the Shavua, take the Shavua. Rabbi Meir says, no yachloku. Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Yossi, in a case where ultimately what? In a case where halacha lemaisa, again, both are chashad ala Shavua, we don't have anybody take Shavua. In other words, well, what's the point of administering a Shavua when both are chashad ala Shavua? Rather, how do we resolve the situation? Yachloku. Whatever the claim is, we split it. Weiter. So we'll say, now this is a very interesting case. So we'll listen to this. Chenvinapikaso literally means a storekeeper, but good morning, with his ledger. So we'll say, watch this. Ketad. Lo shiyomar lo kasov apinkaso shata chayli masayim zuz. Doesn't mean that it's a case where I say to the storekeeper, write on your ledger that you owe me 200 zuz. Rather, I will listen to this. Ela omer lo, tein libni sasayim chitin. Tein lepoali sela mos. We'll listen to this. Let's keep the simpler case. I have employees. Instead of paying them a wage, let's say I owe my employee $100. Instead of paying him a wage, what do? I have an arrangement with the local chenveni, with the local makolet owner. So what do I tell him? I say, listen, extend $100 of credit to my employee. He's going to come into your store. He's going to buy whatever he wants, $100 worth of goods, and then I'll pay you back afterwards. That's the case of chenvin al pinkaso. So the storekeeper extends the credit. He writes down on his ledger, I extended $100 of credit to Silber's employee, and when Silber comes in, he's going to pay me for it. Fine. So I say, so what happens? So you see where this case is running very, very quickly going to go south. So who, Omer? Nasati. So ultimately, again, the storekeeper says, I extended the credit. Vein omrim lo natanu. But yet, again, the employees, Rabbi Osei, the Mishnah also says about this case with kids, the employees ultimately say, we never received it. We never took anything. So Osei, so here you have, so Osei, what's essentially happening over here? Two parties have the claim on the same person. I'm the employer. So both parties have the claim against me. The storekeeper wants this $100 because he claims that he extended the $100 worth of credit. The employees are saying, we never got paid. So therefore, pay us our money. So I have two people, each two parties, each claiming $100 against me. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Who nishba v'notel? So the chenveni swears and collects his $100 from me. The English button Venotlin, and the employees swear and collect their money from me as well. So we'll say, watch this. So for a $100 debt that I had, I'm going to end up paying $200. $100 to the chenveni, to the storekeeper, and $100 to the employees. Amar Benanis. Benanis says, it doesn't make any sense. Kitzat elu ve'elu boimid yishuvashav. See, Benanis is about to say, here's the problem with that arrangement. What's the problem? The problem is somebody's lying. We'll say, do you know what this is like? I know exactly what you're thinking. You're saying, oh, first Mishnah Bav Metzia. Excellent. Right? What's the first Mishnah Bav Metzia? Shnaim Ochsim Batalis. Right? We'll say, what's Kishnaim Ochsim Batalis? Two people holding on to a talis. Ze Omer, Ani Mitzasiv Kula Shali, Vizamin Sishikula Shali. Right? We'll say, we know this Mishnah Bav Peh. So, right? Each of them hold on to it, say it's mine. We'll say, what's Talocha? What's Talocha? Talocha is, Zeyeshava she'en bo ba pachos mechetzia. For Zeyeshava she'en bo pachos mechetzia. Each one swears they own no less than 50%. But I don't say, but that's not their claim. Why don't they each swear that what? I own the whole thing. We don't let that happen. Why? Why? Because Rabbi say, if both of them swear they both own the whole thing, someone is lying. Now, maybe not purposely. Maybe they both picked it up. They think they both picked it up at the same time or whatever it is. But Lamaisa Benana says, we don't structure situations so as to, by definition, allow a false oath. So we're not going to allow both parties of Bava Metzia to both swear that they fully own it, because that's not possible. Two people can't both fully own an object. So therefore, again, Benana says, to say over here that the employees and the storekeeper are both going to swear that I owe them, I, the employer, owe them both $100, doesn't make sense. Somebody's lying. To which the Gemara says, rather, Ella, who no tell below Shavua, they note them below Shavua. Rather, most of what ends up happening is, Benanis agrees with the bottom line, which is, both parties have the right to collect their $100. What Benanis just simply says, which is an incredible chiddush, which is Rabosai, that both of them take without Shavua. So ultimately, again, I pay the employees and I pay the storekeeper, and both of them are able to get their money without taking a Shavua. Again, we're going to discuss the mechanics of these cases. Amar Lechenveni. The most listen to this next case. I say to the chenveni, "Tein li bedina peros v'nasan lo." So we'll say what happens. I say to the chenveni, "Give me. I would like to buy a dinar's worth of peros." The chenveni gives it to me. Amar lo tein li osa dinar. So the chenveni says, "I gave you the peros. Give me my money." Amar lo nasatev lacha. I say, "What are you talking about? I gave you the money. I gave you the dinar v'nasato bo'unpali, and you put it in your coin pouch." So I will say, "So now what happens?" So the chenveni says, "I never got a dinar from you. I'm claiming I paid it to you, and you put it in your purse pouch. You put it in your coin pouch." So we'll say, "What's that lacha?" Yishava balabayis shenasal asadinar. So ultimately, again, the balabayis, who is the purchaser, swears that he gave the chenveni the dinar. Okay, and then he's free from obligation. Amar lo tein li esa peros. So what happens? We'll say, same case. I'm buying a dinar's worth of peros. The chenveni gives me the peros. And then what happens? Oh, excuse me. I give the chenveni the money, and I say, Amar lo tein li esa peros. Give me my produce. Amar lo nasatem lecha. Chenveni says, "What is it? I gave it to you. Volachtem l'sof pesach. You already took it home." So what's talacha losai? Yishava chenveni. The chenveni swears that he gave the peros, and he is exempted from further liability. So we'll say, so what's that? So Rabbi Huda says, "Kol shaperos biyado yado al ha'alyona." So we'll say, we'll see how to interpret Rabbi Huda's statement in the Gemara. Rabbi Huda says, whoever is in possession of the produce has the upper hand. He who has the produce has the power, right? Ultimately, again, whoever has both has the upper hand. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. I would say in the shorter lines of Rashi, it's about six lines in. Kol shaperos biyado yado al ha'alyona areisha polik diktani yishava balabayis shenasal asadinar v'as Rabbi Huda lemeimar intarach shvua shein derech chenveni amocher b'lo akafa. So we'll say, Rabbi Huda is arguing on the first case of the Mishnah. Rabbi Huda is Rabbi say that in that first case where what? I gave the chenveni the dinar. The chenveni gives me the peros. The chenveni then says, you never paid me. I say that what? I gave you the dinar and I put it in the pouch. So the Tanakama ruled that I, the purchaser, have to take a shavua and exempt myself from liability. Rabbi Huda says no. Why? Because the minhag is that a merchant never gives his produce unless what? He gets his money. First he gets his money, then he gives his produce. So if I have the produce, then what, Rabosai? Then that is indicative of the fact that I paid. Rabosai, we'll see, by the way, in the Gemara, that's not always true, meaning there were some people who constantly conducted their businesses based on credit. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people in the marketplace who generally weren't as much credit, but I guess more what we'll call cash and carry. So at the end of the day, if I didn't pay, I wouldn't have the produce. Sefer Rabbi Yehuda says, if I have the produce in my possession, then by definition, that usually indicates that I yadi al ha'alyona, that I paid already. Good. Vayter. Amr l'shulchan, yitin l'bidin amal. So we'll say, watch this. I go to the money changer. See to the money changer. I want to change money. So let's say the way money changers usually worked is I had, let's say, a gold coin. You can't use a gold coin in the marketplace, so I need to break it down into smaller coins. So I say to the shulchan, "Tain li b'dinar maos." So go ahead and I'm giving you a dinar and give me maos instead. V'nasan lo, the shulchan, v'nasan lo, amr lo tain li es a dinar. So what happens? So the shulchan gives me the money, and then he says to me, "Nu, give me the dinar. Give me the gold coin." Amr lo. I gave you the coin. And you put it in your coin pouch. You shove a balabayis. Ultimately, again, I have to swear that I in fact gave the chen v'ni, the coin, and by doing so I exempt myself from liability. Nasan lo es hadinar. So we'll say, what happens? So that I give the chen v'ni dinar, amar lo tin li es hamos. So we'll say this is a flip case. I give the dinar, the chen v'ni gives me the change. Amar lo, so what happens? I say to the chen v'ni, give me the change. I gave you the large coin. Give me the breakdown on smaller denominations. The chemist said, what are you talking about? I gave you the change, and I saw you put it in your pocket. So we say, what's the halacha? Yishav HaShulchani. The Shulchani swears that he, in fact, gave me the change, and he is freed from liability. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein derech shulchani litein iser at sheital dinar. We'll say again, Rabbi Yehuda keeps coming back to saying, you're ignoring the fact that there are certain marketplace norms. And I will say, what's the marketplace norm? Money changers never give you the change, unless, of course, what? They first get the coin. So therefore, again, by definition, the way things work is we assume the Shulchan only gives the change if he gets the coin first. Again, we'll see this all in the Gemara. K'shem shem ra'apol gemes k'suvas al tifra ala b'shvua. So we'll say the same way that we've spoken about this case a number of times, but we'll say pogemes k'suvasa refers to a case where a woman claims that she received partial payment for her ksuva. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's about 10 lines down in the short lines. K'shem shamru mishnah hi b'meseches k'suvas. So we'll say, listen to this. Pogemis ksuvasa, we'll say, is a case where a woman claims that she received partial payment for a ksuva. Now the problem just with that is once she claims that, it erodes the effectiveness of the document. Because the document itself highlights that she's owed 200 zuz. She now is admitting of her own volition that she received 50 zuz. Therefore, for argument's sake, whatever the amount is. So we'll say, ultimately, again, the halacha is that she can only collect the rest with a shvua. Now, generally, this comes up in a case where the husband claims that she received the rest of it as well. So therefore, she'll only be able to collect the rest of her ksuva with a shvua. Excuse me. So va'pomos pogemis ksuva. So lotifra l'beshvua. So therefore, we'll say a woman who literally, again, pogemis ksuva literally means she like wine becomes pogum after you drink it. She blunted the effectiveness. She blunted the effectiveness of her, or she eroded the effectiveness of her ksuva, so she could only collect the rest of the shavua. Similarly, ve'ed echad mi'ida shipurua, or if one witness testifies that ultimately, again, it was paid, lo tifra ala b'shavua, ultimately, again, you could only collect with a shavua, minichasim mishubadim. They will say, by the way, that ed echad case is lav dafka ksuva, right? They will say, that's ultimately, again, any case of a debt, minichasim mishubadim, if you want to collect from encumbered property, or minichasim yisomim, or you want to collect from the property of orphans, lo tifra ala b'shavua. We'll say, in all of these cases, you can only collect with a shavua. But Hanifras shalo b'fanav lo tifra ela b'shvua. Rabbi says similarly, if a woman's coming to collect for her ksuva and her husband is overseas, right? Rabbi says she's therefore again. This would be an example of where a husband sends a get from overseas. She wants to collect her ksuva from the estate of her husband. She can only collect with a shvua. Hanifras shalo b'fanav lo tifra ela b'shvua. Fine. V'cheni yisomim lo yifru ela b'shvua. So Rabbi says when yisomim want to go ahead and collect a debt from the estate, ultimately, again, they can only collect with the shvua. We'll say again, we'll see the parameters of these cases. Shvua shelo pakadnu shvua. So I'm sorry. Shvua shelo pakadnu abba. For lo amar lanu abba. V'shelo matzinu bein shtarosav shel abba sheshtar zeparua. And I will say ultimately, again, when speaking about cases, what does it mean when the yisomim collect with a shvua? We'll say this would have to be a shvua ultimately, again, that the yisomim say, our father never mentioned anything about the fact that he may have collected this debt. We never found the document between his documents, nor did our father ever tell us that the debt was paid. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, so we'll say, this is the Mishnah is giving an example of the type of shvua that yisomim take in order to collect a debt which was owed to their father. Again, we'll discuss the parameters of these cases in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, Omer, afilu nola tabein la'achamis ha'sahav, harei zenish pavenot. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if the son was born after the death of the father, he goes ahead and he takes a shvua and he can collect the debts of his father. This is amazing. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, if we have witnesses who say that a father said at the time of his death that the debt that Reuven owes me is not paid, the Yisomim have the right to collect it even without a shvua. And we'll say, what's the logic behind that? See, we often assume that people lie. But there is one time when we assume that people do not lie, and that is when? When they're dying. Right? They will say, everybody would like to go into the Olam HaMes with a somewhat clean slate. I don't lie when I die. Therefore, if on his deathbed the father says, the $1,000 that Reuven owes me was never repaid, we take that word as MS, and therefore the Yisomim have the ability to collect that debt even without a shvua. Ve'ilu nishpan shelo b'tayna. And Rabbi say, these are the people who have to swear in order to collect, even if no one is making a claim against them. Shutfin partners, arisin, sharecrappers, apetropin, Rabbi say, who are like executors of estates. Va'ishan asazan asedem b'soch habayis. A woman who goes there and runs the business out of her home. Again, Rabbi say, we're going to explain all of these cases in the Gemara. Ben Bayis, someone who goes out and lives in the home. Amar lo, ma ta'anini. If he says to tell me, what are you claiming against me? And he claims, I would like you to take a shua from me to go and ascertain the validity of your claim. Chayiv. We'll say, the halacha is the moment be chayiv ultimately to take a shua. Chilku ha-shutfin va-arisin. We'll say, if the shutfin partners or sharecroppers already split their respective amounts, ain yachol la-hashpio. We'll say, if they already split their respective amounts, then one does not have the ability to impose a shvua upon the other. However, niskalkelo shvua malkamacher, but we'll say, if one of them had to swear because of some other matter, then magalgilin alav esakol. So we'll say, what it's saying is like this. Before partners split up partnership assets, they have the ability to impose a shvua one upon the other. We'll discuss the parameters of that. Once they split their property, then lemaise again, they have no right to impose a shvua one upon the other. However, if because of some other reason one of these partners is taking a shvua regarding something else, we have the concept of gilgul shvua. We'll say, what does gilgul shvua mean? Gilgul shvua means that once I'm already taking an oath, we could roll on you other shvuas or other situations to swear about that by themselves would not have engendered an oath liability or oath obligation. So the Gemara goes weiter. Vashias mishametes ala shvua. And I'll say ultimately again, Shemitah cancels oaths. So we'll discuss again, that's a very dramatic statement. We'll discuss what that means. Says the Gemara. We'll say, how do we know that in general, when it comes to a biblical shvua, so you swear and you exempt? That the way biblical shvuas work, Rabbi Osai, is there is technically a financial liability hovering over me, and I swear in order to exempt myself. Where do we know that that's not for biblical shvuas? The Amakra, we'll say first of the widest lines, Amakra, Velakach Balav Velo Yishalim. Because we'll say literally the way the Gemara is teaching the Pasuk of here is like this. Velakach Balav, the Baal will take it. Take is understood in this context as the shvua velo yishalem and will not pay. Mi sha'alav l'shalem, the one who is obligated to pay, lo shvua. We'll say that is the one ultimately again who has to take the shvua. Ve'elu nushpan v'notlin, and I will say these are the people, but again on the rabbinic level, these are the people who take a shvua, not in order to. So we'll say herein lies the fundamental distinction. Biblical shvuas generally are taken in order to exempt one from payment. rabbinic shvuos ultimately will be taken in order to entitle one's self to payment. So the Gemara says, "Ve'elu v'shav in Oakland, mashna sechir detakino le'rabbanim detishav v'shakil." Rabbi, listen to this. Why is it by the worker? So Rabbi, remember again, the case of the worker, Rabbi, was the case of chen v'ni al pinkaso, where ultimately, again, the employer claims that he paid, and the merchant, or I should say, the shopkeeper claimed that he extended the credit, but yet what happens? The employee has the ability to swear, "I did not get paid." And what happens after he swears he did not get paid? What happens? He gets paid. But say, by the way, it's an incredible yusod in like Talmudic employee law, right? Which is labor law, which is an incredible thing, which is the idea is that Chazal gave a mechanism for the employee to get paid, right? I don't care what anyone else says. I'm going to swear that I didn't get paid. And if I swear that I didn't get paid, even if someone else is swearing to the contrary, I have the right then to collect my wages. So the Gemara says, why did Chazal set it up this way? Well, say, this is actually amazing. I'm going to number Shmuel. Halachas gidolos shanukon. Oh, these are halachas gidolos. Right, these are big halachas. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Right? So the Gemara says, halachos gidolos shanukan. Halachos hani hilchos aninu. What do you mean halachos? So we'll say, in general, the word halacha refers usually to a biblical precept. Right? It usually refers to halacha l'moshe m'sinai. But usually it refers to something biblical. These are not biblical precepts. Ela ima takanos gidolos shanukan. No, what I meant to say was, these are big takanos. Right? The Gemara says, mechlal dika kitanos. Are you trying to say that there are takanos gidolos, takanos kitanos? As well as in general, we try to always approach our Yiddishkeit by not creating gradations or not creating frameworks of more importance, less importance. It's Torah and it's important. So I tell you, some takanos chazal are takanos gidolos, some are kitanos. You know, that takana, mamish chazal, you get an A for that one. This one, like a C+. You know, it was all right. You could have done a little bit better, right? Come on, work a little bit harder next time. What does that mean? So it says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Mechladi ketanos elo amrav Nachman amr Shmuel takanos kivuos shanukan." Rather, what it means, Rabbi says, as follows: that what we're learning about over here are takanos kivuos. Rabbi means rabbinic enactments that are here to stay, that will endure. So the Gemara says, because what happened over here? Mikan akrua rabbanon l'shua mibalabayis v'shadju asachir. We'll say, because remember again, think about this on a biblical level. Think about this on a biblical level. It should have been, it would appear, that it should be the employer who should be obligated to swear that he paid his employee, right? In order to exempt himself from liability. That's the biblical model. I owe money, I go and I exempt myself from the liability to pay. Yet, what did Chazal do over here? Chazal actively took the shivua from the employer and placed it on the employee. But I will say, here's the amazing part. The placement on the employee, as we're going to see, was a benefit to the employee. Why? But I will say, watch this. Mishum kedei chayov. But I will say, ultimately, again, because the employee then needs to get paid. Rabbi Osai, most of us don't work for recreational purposes. The employee needs to get paid. Therefore, Rabbi Osai, by placing the shvua on the employee, that allows the employee to us. Rabbi Osai, we often think as a shvua, obviously, as we saw, and last Shabbos is daf, right, is a very serious thing. This daza kolaretz. But the good news is over here, by placing it on the employee, Rabbi Osai, what does that do? By placing it on the employee, what does that do? What does that do? It gives him the power. It gives him the power. He has the power now to control the process. Once he swears, he gets paid. That's mishum kedei chayev. Or mishum kedei chayev desachar kansilei labalabayis. But once, I don't understand. But it's also the employer's parnasa. Right? They will say, because remember again, why is the employee's parnasa any more important than the employer's parnasa? Why? Because they leave the show with the employer. That's why, again, he also has to have a parnasa, to which the Gemara says, Balabayis kufei nechali d'mishtabas sachir v'shakil keichi disgarnei polin. No, it's in the best interest of the employer, to also have the employees swear, because they'll say why. If employees know that what? They control the process of their wages, that they are empowered to swear and get paid, he'll have an easier time finding workers, because people won't be worried about being cheated out of their wages, because they control the process. Adraba, sachir nechalei de lishtaba, balabayis, v'nafka, kiechi de ligre balabayis. I would say just the opposite. I would say perhaps, again, from the employee's perspective, he would say, let my employer take the shvua, let that onus rest on his shoulders, and therefore, again, he'll be much quicker to pay rather than take a shvua shav, to which the Gemara says, Balabayis al korche agav. So, the Gemara says, we don't need to entice the balabayis. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because the balabayis has to hire workers no matter what. In other words, he needs a labor force. Therefore, there is no need to make this situation sweeter for him. So, the Gemara says, sachir nami al korche miskar. But one second, Rabbi Osai. Most people work not because they want to. Most people work because they have to. So, everyone requires this arrangement. Ella, rather, Rabbi Osai says, the Gemara, here is the svara. Rabbi Osai, again, just so you understand what's happening over here. So, remember, what the Gemara is focusing on over here is the Rabbanon actively changed the model. On a biblical level, when there is a wage dispute, what should have happened over here is the balabayis would swear and he would exempt himself from liability. The Rabbanan took the shavuah off the balabayis and they put it on the employee. We're trying to figure out why. Ella, here is the reason, says the Gemara, balabayis tarid bepa'alavu. To which the Gemara says, the truth is, an employer often has many employees. And because that, they will say what? And because of that, he's paying a lot of people, and maybe he's just mistaken. He thought he paid Reuven. He's not trying to lie, he's not trying to cheat or anything. He thought he paid Reuven. So because, again, it's easier for him to get confused, I will say, as opposed to, no one really ever has confusion about whether or not they got paid. Right? Generally, a person doesn't say, you know what? I don't remember if I got my paycheck this month. Right? So because of that, I will say it's easier for the employer to get confused when he's paying multiple people. Masha'inkin, the employee generally has much greater what we'll call wage clarity. So there's wage confusion. There could be wage confusion or ambiguity by the employer because he's paying a lot of people. But generally there's no wage ambiguity or lack of clarity by or confusion by the employee. Therefore, we let the employee swear. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. V'leisiv lei b'lo shvua. K'dei l'hafiz da'i. Sorry. V'leisiv lei b'lo shvua. So why don't we just say, I'm sorry. Why don't we just go ahead and let the employer pay the employee without a shvua? To which the Gemara says, K'dei l'hafiz da'i tosha balabayis. No. Because the truth is, also remember again, the balabayis is saying, I paid you. The balabais is saying, I paid you. So to tell him just to pay without a shvua is not right. He's going to be upset about that. Therefore, a shvua is a necessary mechanism to make you feel better about this. So why don't we say, I have a better idea. Why don't you institute that a person should not pay his workers without what? Without witnesses. And therefore, if you have witnesses, Rabbi said, there's no shayla. If you could produce witnesses that the wage was paid, great. If there are no witnesses, that means it wasn't paid. To which the Gemara says, trichle milsa, that is too much of a tircha. What are you going to do? Every single time an employer pays his employees, there has to be witnesses there. That's too much of a tircha on both parties. We'll say, this is an amazing havamina. The Gemara says, I have a better idea. Why don't you let the employer play the employee in the beginning of the day? Pay him in the beginning of the day. We both say, do you understand? Do you understand, by the way? Just, I want to explain to you what the... Can you imagine the time? There, just pay him at the beginning of the day. We both say, this speaks volumes of the Jewish work ethic. We both say, the Jewish work ethic is, of course I'm showing up to do my job. What's the shayla? Of course I'm showing up to do my job. And of course I'm going to give my employer 100%, 120%. Of course I'm going to do my job. I'm good for it. We'll say this, that's a Chazal teaching us already. That's what it means to be a Jew. To be a Jew means that you're the kind of person who's trustworthy enough to show up in the morning and get the job done. So could your employer feel confident prepaying you? 1,000%. So we'll say, V'leisi lei mi'ikara, look at Rashi for just a moment. V'leisi lei mi'ikara, liskon rabbanan she yitain adam lapal of scharan shachris, actually yaskilu b'melacha. Why don't Chazal set up? Let the employer just prepay the wages. Prepay the wages in the morning before, again, the worker even begins to work. We'll say that's easy because at the end of the day, if you set it up that you get prepaid before you start to work, then there can't really be any kind of claims for one simple reason. If I didn't get my money, then what? I'm not working. If I worked, it means I got my money. It's a simpler case. To which the Gemara says, this is very interesting. No, because generally both the workers and the employers would rather, we'll say hakafa means credit, right? Bless you. Both of them generally would rather pay and get paid at the end of the day. So we'll say Rashi points out over here, why is that? So for the employer's perspective, Balabayis Pamim She'inlo Mitzuyos Lomo Shachris. Upoel Shlo Yotzi Amos Adalayla Parnasas. We'll say, because generally the employer may not have money first thing in the morning, right? In other words, his money, he may be paying his employees from the wages generated that day. So he may not have the money first thing in the morning. And I will say, from the employee's perspective, he doesn't want to be carrying around money the whole day. He'd rather get his money at the end of the day when he's headed home. So therefore, again, I will say, as appealing as prepayment seems, neither the employer nor the employee truly want that. I will say, I'm amazed. So I'll say, says the Gemara. So now, what it seems to is as follows. What it seems to be is what Chazal are saying is like this. Even though on a technical biblical level, what should happen over here? The Balabai should swear that he paid and exempt himself from further payment. Yet Chazal took the Shavua and they put it on the employee. And the reason for that seems to be is because that we are concerned Mishum Tirda de Balabayis. That the Balabayis is paying a lot of people, and therefore, again, he could be confused about the circumstances. So because of that, we put the Shavua on the employee. If that's the case, afilu katzatz nami. We'll say, if that's the case, and this is not about wages. Look at Rashi just a moment. Afilu katzatz nami. Afilu nechleku ala ktsitsa leimonos eschir b'shov. We'll say, listen to this. Even if the argument is not as much about the payment, but is about the arrangement, then we should have the same halacha as well. In other words, we'll say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. So the Gemara says, Va'alama tanya, uman omer shtayim ketzatzteli. So the uman says, you agreed to pay me $200. Va'ala omer lo ketzatzti d'chayla achos. And yet the employer says, I only agreed to pay you $100. We'll say, what's the halacha? Hamotzi mechaveiro alav haraya. Ultimately, again, the raya is upon me. Let's say I'm the worker to prove that the employer agreed to pay me $200. I'm saying, now, why is that? If we accept the svara, that is what's called tirda de balabayis. Then sometimes the balabayis has got a lot of stuff going on, and therefore he may not be clear on the details, and therefore that's why Chazal put the shvu on me to get my wages. Why don't they say that over here also? That's what? When there's a dispute, not about whether or not I got paid, but there's a dispute about what I'm saying. There's a dispute about the financial arrangement. I, the worker, am saying you promised me $200. Reuven, the employer, is saying I only promised you $100. Why don't you say the halacha sides with me because of tir de balabayis? To which the Gemara says, no. Ketzitza vaday mitkar dokule. Every employer knows how much money he agreed to pay, right? I might have maybe a little bit of ambiguity as to who was on the payroll line, right? Who I actually gave money to. But there's one thing I'm absolutely clear as a business owner will say, which is how much I agreed to pay my employees, right? No one ever says, how much is your salary again? Right? How much did I agree to pay you this year? Every employer is absolutely crystal clear on that. Therefore, again, I will say, in that type of situation, if the employee claims he is owed more money in salary, the responsibility to prove that is upon him. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi afilu avres manunami." If that's the case, Rabbi, and this should be true, even if the time for receiving payment has already passed. Now, what does this mean, Rabbi? So watch this. So what it's saying is, if you accept the premise that the reason they placed the Shavua on the employee is because Balabayis Tarut, that the Balabayis sometimes is preoccupied with a whole bunch of stuff going on, therefore he's not clear on the details. So this should be true, Rabbi, say, even when time has elapsed. Watch this. Alamatanya, why is it that we learn? Avraz manavalo nasanlo. We'll say, if let's say again the time for payment passed, in other words, we'll say, we'll see, the halach is you have to pay day laborers every day. Pay them every day, otherwise you're in violation of Baal Tullin, of going and delaying paying salaries. Avraz manavalo nasanlo. Let's say the time passed and I didn't pay my employee. So we'll say, harizeh inonishba vinotel. We'll say the halacha is, if the time passed, what happens? My employee could collect his money and doesn't have to take a shavua. So the Gemara says, why? Chazaka in balabayis over bebal talin. Ultimately, again, the chazaka is that the balabayis does not violate bal talin. I will say bal talin ultimately means that you keep wages past their proper due date. Va'amid balabayis tarbu po'alav. So we'll say, you just said before that the balabayis sometimes is preoccupied with his workers. That's before the time where it's obligatory to pay my workers comes. Kimatiz manchiyuva rami anavshe umidgar. But I will say, once the time to pay the salary comes, of course I'm going to be vigilant in paying the salary. V'chi sachir over mishum bal tigzal. I will say, one second. If you're going to tell me that the balabas, right, the business owner, is careful and vigilant not to be in violation of Baal Talin. So I'll say again, because he wants to be a good Jew. So I would say the worker is also wants to be a good Jew, and he's not going to be in violation of Lo Sigzal, right? And therefore, he's not going to claim something that he doesn't really own. To which the Gemara says, "Gabi Balabayis Iketrei Shei Chazaki." We'll say Balabayis. There are two Chazakis. Chada Da'in Balabayis over Baal Talin. Number one, the Balabayis is not going to delay paying wages, and number two, V'Chada Da'in Sachir Mishascharo. Or we'll say number two is generally again, a worker is not going to wait to receive his wages. In other words, we'll say, same way that the Balabai is not going to be in violation of Baal Talin, a worker is not just going to wait around and wait to collect his wages either. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. So we'll say Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. When do we see this arrangement that the worker goes ahead and swears and collects his wages? When do we say that? Lo Shanu Ela Shesachro Be'edim. We'll say that is only true when the employer hired the employee in the presence of witnesses. Now we'll say, now what does that mean? What that means is there is edus about the employment arrangement. So now we'll say, what's happening over here? I hire Reuven to work for me. And I hire him in front of witnesses, which means that there's independent corroboration that there is an employment relationship between the two of us. Now what's happening? Payday. Reuven claims I didn't get paid. I claim I did pay him, or whatever, the whole Chenveni Alpin Kassel case. We'll say, what's talocha? Reuven swears and collects his money. Why? Why does he swear? Because the concern is that maybe I have a lot of employees that I'm busy with, and I got mixed up. I thought I paid him, I didn't pay him. So therefore, he swears. So we'll say, when is this arrangement true? That's only when I hired him with witnesses. But I will say, what happens if I hired Reuven without witnesses? So we'll say, then the halacha is as follows. Mitoch sheyachalomer lo secharticha me'olam, yachalomer lo secharticha v'nasati l'chascharech. So let's listen to this. But if I hired Reuven without witnesses, we'll say, then what? I am believed to say that I already paid him. Why am I believed to say that I already paid him? We'll say, why? Because I have a Migo. What's my Migo? I could have said what? Who are you? Who are you? Right? You don't even work for me, right? I have no employment arrangement with you. So we'll say, because I could have said, I have no employment arrangement with you, that ultimately, again, I don't owe you anything. Therefore, again, I am believed to say I already paid you. So we'll say, this is an incredible qualification. So when do we say that the employee goes ahead and swears and collects his wages? That's tafka in a place where there's independent corroboration of the employment, but where ultimately, again, there is no independent corroboration of the employment, because the employer could have just simply said, La hayu dvar me'olam, I don't know you. You never worked for me. He is believed to say that he already paid the wages. Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak, Yasher. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Shkoyach. Right, that is mostly positive affirmation is a very important thing. Right, even for Tanam and Amoraim. Right, everybody needs a pat on the back. Right, Shkoyach. That is an excellent halacha. And Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. It's actually a repeat of a Gemara we saw a few days before. Rabbi Yochanan agreed with this ruling. So Gemara says Mechladu Paligadei Rish Lakish. They will say now the fact that it records Rabbi Yochanan's affirmation, but now Rish Lakish. Does that mean Rish Lakish was arguing on this? No, calm down. Ika de Amri. What's the other say? Rish Lakish was in the base medrash, but what? He was drinking a glass of water. Give the poor guy a break for just a moment. He was drinking a glass of water, so therefore what? He didn't have time to respond. So Rish Lakish doesn't jump on this. So what happens? He's quiet. So they say, why are you quiet? Do you not agree? So he was drinking a glass of water. So because he was mid-drink, he couldn't comment on it. Others say, as we saw before, that Rish Lakish was respectful and allowed Rabbi Yochanan to finish his statement before he commented, right? Before he commented on it, and therefore again he wasn't in agreement as well. He just didn't voice his agreement until Rabbi Yochanan was finished. Itmar Nami Amram Nashi Bar Zvid Amarav Loshan Elisha Sachra Be'edim. Furthermore, I will say just a further support. When do we say that the employee swears and ultimately collects his wages? That's only when he was hired in the presence of witnesses. Aval Sachra Shelo Be'edim. But I will say if he was hired not in the presence of witnesses, Mitoch Sheyachalomer Lo Schaticha Me'olam Yachalomer Lo Schaticha V'Nasati L'Chas Charech. So we'll say there's an ego. Since without witnesses, ultimately the employer could have said, I don't know who you are, I don't owe you anything. Therefore, he is believed to say, I paid you the wages, right? We'll say it's amigo. Omre Barchama, Kama Malya Hashmaita. So Barchama says, this is such a beautiful ruling. In other words, what a good halacha. Amali Rava, my mal yusa. Rav Rava said, I don't understand what's so great about it. Im kain shvuas shomrim dechayiv rachmana hechi mishkachasla. So also because if not for this, what would be the case of shvuas shomrim where you would be chayiv midaraisa? So the Gemara says, mitoch sheyacha lomar lo, lo hayu dvarim meolam. Zidzik would have said, right, these events never happened. Yochol lomar lo nensu. He should be believed to say, ultimately, again, circumstances beyond my control claim the pikadon. So therefore, what's the case? Da'afkid luhu be'edim. So what's therefore, even by the case of Shua Shomra, it only works if you have independent corroboration that the Shomra was watching the object. So ultimately, again, because he can have the possibility to say that he returned it back, he has the right to say it was ne'enas. Dafkid lu b'shtara. Ultimately, I will say, what's the case? The case over here is where he was mafkid it with a shtar. But we're just trying to figure out the case of shua shomrim. So the Gemara says, mechladu tavayu sfir lehu, hamafkid eitzal chaveiro be'edim, eintrach lahachzer lo be'edim. He'll say, but therefore, what do you see? Both of them hold that if you deposit an object by your friend with edim, you do not have to return it in the presence of edim. To which the Gemara says, yet, b'shtar, but if ultimately you set up the arrangement with the shtar, then tzarach lahachzer lehu be'edim. Then ultimately you have to return it, we'll say, back to the individual with edim. So bottom line, for our purposes, what comes out is as follows. We learn two dramatic halachas. Number one, that even though in the case of employment law, where there is a disagreement about whether or not the employee was paid, I claim I'm the employee, I wasn't paid. Reuven says I paid you. Again, Rabbi said the Mishnah frames this in the case of Chen Vini Al Pinkaso. What's the halacha? On a biblical level, we would have thought that the employer Reuven would swear and exempt himself from liability. Chazal took the shvua from Reuven, placed it on me, the employee. Why? We went through a couple of different possibilities. Bottom line is, Mishum tirda de balabayis. And if a concern de balabayis is paying a lot of employees, he may get confused and ultimately, again, think that he paid me when in fact he didn't pay me. Therefore, Chazal gave me the right, me the employee, the right to swear and to collect my wages. But we qualify that to say that only applies to Rabosai when there is independent corroboration of the employment arrangement. Meaning, Reuven hired me as his employee in the presence of witnesses. Now that there's independent corroboration of the employment arrangement, I can swear and collect my money. However, if there's no independent corroboration of the employment arrangement, i.e. Reuven just hired me, right, between us, there's no edim, then I both say, when Reuven claims that he paid me, he's believed. Why? Why? Because he has a migo. What's his migo, Abosai? He could have claimed that what? You never worked for me a day. I don't know who you are. So we'll say, because he could have denied our entire arrangement and he would have been believed because there's no edos, he is believed to say that he paid me as well. So we'll stop here. We'll share with you a short idea on the parasha.